Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, you guys. This is Dr. Renee Sunday, and we're live. This is Good Deeds, and we just have an awesome, awesome opportunity today to learn more, to empower each other and inspire each other. It's just a blessing, a blessing, a blessing to be here today. You know, we're actually going to talk about forgiveness. You know, this is a big topic now, forgiveness. And, you know, we said, can we forgive someone else for that? And, you know, that can be so many things that we'll be here all to see what that is. But it's, you know what that is. You know what has been in your life that you need to forgive people. You know, it's very amazing that we have to do that. But, you know, I'm going to tell you some quotes that I looked up. And this is actually, we're going to give the citation from where this is from, Psychology Today. They have several information here, and this is so powerful. Listen to this. It says, forgiveness is not for someone else's sake. It's actually you helping yourself. Because if you hold this stuff inside, that's not good. And you know, if you have negative, 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 negative will get in your mind, will get in your heart, of course, will get in your soul. And you know, we do not want that to happen. We actually want to have a peaceful and a joyful life that God has given us, you know. And so but listen to some of these quotes. Some of the quotes are, forgiveness is for me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Isn't that powerful? And then this is one I really like. Forgiveness is giving and so the receiving of life. So you can actually gain back a lot of things by forgiving somebody else. You actually can move forward from that situation and be, you know, be at peace. And this one actually is, always forgive your enemies. Nothing allows them so. Isn't that wonderful? We actually have a powerful, powerful person that's actually here with us today. We're actually going to talk about, and he is a powerful man of God. He's an evangelist. He's an author. And we're going to really talk about, can I forgive you for that? I mean, that can be small, it can be large, but whatever it is, you need to forgive people. And we're going to actually give you some tools, some actions, some things you can apply right now that you actually can apply it to your life. We just are so happy to be here. But you know what? You know my motto. My motto is always to be happy. You know, we have to let go of those things that we actually have that's bothering us. I mean, it can be the simplest thing is, oh, I just don't want to get up in the morning. I mean, you know, come on. We have to actually put our feet on the floor. We actually have to do things in life that we actually can help somebody else. You know, I'm really big on that passion and purpose thing. But we actually today are going to dive in, and we're going to find out things that we can do right now from this powerful man of God that actually is going to tell us how we can forgive people, how we can move forward in life. His name is Demetrius Guyton. He's a powerful man, and he's going to enlighten us on things we need to do and say. And Demetrius, are you there?
I am, Dr. Sandy. How you doing?
All right. It's so good to hear you. If you can kind of turn your volume up a little bit, we can barely hear you on this end. But just welcome, welcome, welcome here to Good Deeds. Just tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey that you're doing right now.
First of all, I want to thank you and thank God for the opportunity for being able to share my testimony of truth. I pray that it be revolutionary for every listening ear. I'm just a humble man, and I stand humbled actually being a vessel that God has transformed from anger to love, from hate to love, from bitterness to love, and just I am now a conduit in which his characteristic flows through.
Oh, wow, that's just powerful. I mean, that's a sermon, as they say, just by saying that, because you're a willing vessel. You know, we had to go through A, B, C, and D, and sometimes C, D, and F to be able to have a process that we know whatever we've been through, God has our back, our side, and everything. But just that's amazing. But dive more into your awesome book and the journey of your life.
Well, it started when I was 2 months old. my biological mother, as it was told to me. My biological mother, she had taken out a $25,000 insurance policy 4 days prior to attempting to assassinate me to obtain it. It burned my face. It collapsed my nasal passages. Therefore, I've been a mouth breather all my life. She poisoned me with hydrochloric acid and castor oil, fed it to me in a bottle of milk in the same hospital room I was born in. I swallowed it, and supernaturally I regurgitated it, and when I regurgitated it, it disfigured my face. I now carry the physical scars. Also, the physicians have done a wonderful job. I've been under 37 surgeries and 17 skin grafts. And so I grew up very hateful, very bitter, and very angry, and I hated everything that existed, life, myself, God, people, because the very person that brought me into this world, who was supposed to nurture me and protect me, tried to kill me. And so I was very bitter, very, very bitter, until a journey of assault and battery cases ended me in prison, and my incarceration actually became my liberation.
Wow, wow. You know, dive into this, because I actually have had to talk to people, and I'm going to step back a little bit. And, you know, the reason God is doing this, because someone needs to hear this, is when you say that you hated God, expand on that a little bit more, because there's so much that's happening on from day to day. Good things, bad things, you know, and we know this all the time, but, you know, I had a real light bulb experience not too long ago, when at the same time somebody's happy, somebody's sad. When the same
right.
time somebody's being born, somebody's dying. So expand a little bit and minister to people. What do you do in a situation like that?
Well, you're taught all your life that God loves you and that he is love, which is true. You're taught about the promise of God, and you're taught about the purpose of God, but you're not taught about the process that you have to go through as an individual to get to the place that he has preordained for you. And when you are, when you're not learned of that, you have the tendency of hating God and thinking that he's against you and not really understanding that everything that you've had to endure and overcome actually works out for your good and for his glory. Many different people in the world today are cut out specifically by God for a specific purpose that they have to serve here in the earth. And their journeys are totally different, but we're going to the same destination, which is heaven. And we here in earth are actually agents. We're agents of heaven. And I want people to really understand this. We're agents of God to show off who he is in the earth. And so a lot of times he takes us through different fires and through different storms and through different obstacles to perfect us. And the toughest thing to do in the world is to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. And at the end of the day, that's all he wants to do. But we look at it naturally, and we see, you know, life is not what we wanted to be. Things are not going our way. But God, you love me. And God, I can count on you. And I understand that he's your friend and that he knows the end for the beginning. And if we stop trying to think like God and begin to just trust him in the process, then when you make it there, it'll be worth it.
Wow. That's amazing what you're saying. Because, see, a lot of times we think, I'm saying an emphasis on we think that we know it all, and, of course, we don't. I mean, we uh-huh. want to go left and we need to go right. You know, I'm saying that's kind of simple. But even things in our life, We say, okay, I want to be, like I could take myself for example. I want to be an anesthesiologist, but look, now God has me in media, public speaking. He has me speaking the word. He has me doing what is going to help the body of Christ. And what I have to go through all that to get to there. But we have to, as you say, we do have to trust God. But let's get back to your journey. Because that was just God just wanted me to do that, and I'm obedient. But he said, get back now. But
yeah,
we're going to get back to your story and dive more into that to let us know you said, you know, you say you went through all these things in your childhood and you end up being, you know, in jail yourself and things. But when you went in through that process, now, we can be really transparent here if you want.
Yes.
You really was like, okay, this is over. And then what am I really doing here? Why? What actually was your point that you said, okay, you know, God revealed to you, oh, I am somebody?
I had no role models, Dr. Sunday. I had no role models. My grandmother, she had 6 boys, no girls, just boys. And my father, he was the oldest of her children, therefore made me the first grand. And my uncles, all of them were gang members and living the life that stemmed from that. So I had no role model, and I only done what I saw. Everything I saw them do and I saw others around me do, that's what I've done. That's what I've done. And they accepted me. Not knowing that I was Clark Kent on the inside, to them and to me and the person in society, I was Clark Kent. I was Superman rather, and not Clark Kent. And I thought that was the way of life. I thought just being wild and unruly was the way of life. But as I said before, when I was incarcerated, people from all over, all walks of life, began to approach me. For instance, one encounter was a young man that approached me, and he was just desperate, wanting to find out what happened to me. And when I finally gave in and told him, he said, hey, man, I was an atheist before I saw you. And I said to myself, whatever happened to him, you know, it had to be God. And so I began to sit down and see my life as someone else's deliverance and someone else's breakthrough, instead of being mad and angry and upset with God. But naturally, I had to do a lot of homework in writing my book. I had to do a lot of homework and a lot of study and a lot of investigation on what really happened. And everybody was focusing on my mother. And I was holding that against her, to be honest with you, before I had gotten saved and things, because I really thought that that's what it was. But when I had gotten older and I was incarcerated, I had time to sit down and think a lot. And I said, you know, no woman, no real mother, a loving mother, would actually carry a child and have the child and want to kill the child. So it was deeper than this, you know. It was a lot of mysteries, and it was a lot of questions that I had, and answers that I had still remain questionable. So I had to take it up on myself, Dr. Sunday, and just confront my fears, and just let me go, and let God just show me everything and reveal everything to me. And by and by, Dr. Sunday, the truth had begun to be revealed, and I had to forgive. Because if I didn't, it was destroying my life. I mean, I was destructive. I was very destructive. And it incarcerated me instead of rehabilitating me. And I ended up having an encounter. Listen to me. I ended up having an encounter with the warden of destruction, which is the enemy. And his intentions were to become the coroner of the death to my dreams and my heart and my hope. And so I had to make a solid, sober decision, either die or live. And God, he did it all for us. And so I think that's what we need to understand, is that it's finished already. We don't have to work hard. He paid the price for us to live. And when I grabbed that concept, I began to be free.
Wow. And that just rolls down. Everything gets better. I mean, your the stress of doing this and looking behind your back and your blood pressure and all that, your life. And, that, and you know, I want to, you know, you guys know the real here. You will still have obstacles. You will still have things that you have to deal with. That's just life. You know, Jesus went through that, okay? So, you know, people have that misconception on that, okay, now I'm going to have a better ease, as the old people say. But, you know, we would not have nothing that comes to us that we cannot handle. And that's how God is. That's how he works. But you know what? You know, we actually, the thing is, we need to have, whatever our purpose is, whatever we've been through in life, when we are healed, we need to realize we need to minister to somebody. We need to be able to preach to somebody else. And you need to know, you guys, right quick, we're going to actually play a song from a good friend of mine. His ministry is called Be Willing Sacrifice. And guess what his song is? hour to preach. Now, we need to be able to witness to somebody else. We need to be able to share our story. And we're going to come back very shortly, and Demetrius God, he's going to tell us a little bit more about his book, the tools that he's applied to his life that God has given him. And, of course, we're going to find out how to get this awesome book, this bestseller. But we'll be right back. And you know this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday.
I got the hunger to teach. I got my eye on the clock, and it's my hour to preach. You got 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 school. They put too much pressure upon me to penetrate purpose from preaching. I'm reaching and teaching the slums, preaching and feeding the bum. Can you believe this season has come, but this is one, two. What should I do with the fragment of scarlet, the heel of my shoe? Starts in the home of my kitchen and two of my wife, and I try to do what my students survive. Stick to the Bible, provide me a weapon of praise. I'm a rider, providing, I'm riding, I'm walking, I'm walking, I'm talking, I'm talking. The highest, I'm fire, seven. Heaven's the goal of my dream, all of my team. Jesus for people who don't go to church is more than it seems. I'm all about God, stacking the dirt, nothing to work. No weapon for me to do spiritual harm. I'm a level bomb, and it's all praise to God. I'm about to go off, but get your hook. I'm banging the book, basic instruction before leaving earth. From God's instruction, death and dysfunction. Let's get it jumping, let's get it jumping.
I got the power to reach, I got the hunger to teach. I got my eye on the clock, and it's my hour to preach. You got my hour to preach, you got my hour to preach. You got my hour to preach, you got the chip. I got the power to reach, I got the hunger to teach. I got my eye on the clock, and it's my hour to preach.
I step in the pulpit, not dressed in the fool ritual, dressed in my goons with me, impressed by who's with me. And yeah, the sermon's lengthy, I preach to the burner with me. My Bible is my burner, and I spit it till it's empty. Infinite ammo channel, suspicious throughout his handlers. Hands the mandibles of a man, slugs rambling on about God's goodness. Miracles he has witnessed, praising God, cause he's no longer a victim, it's just forgiveness. Through the blood of Jesus, flow it's in my veins, give me freedom from my flesh, till my flesh and blood remain. Never again, I want the streets alone, and I defend no more. Like with tender blood, shown to practice when you hear me roar. Got no time for the showtime, I show mine, it's show time. Worthy of the widow's oil, 2 Kings 4:9. Chris clean on 15, I thank God he fits me. Jesus came to save your soul, John 3:16, Psalms 106:47, 107:43, Psalms 112, praise the Lord, Psalms 103, Proverbs chapter 21, verse 17, Proverbs 22, verses 20 through 23, read the book, keep the chorus, devil scream, please ignore him, to hell, we bring nothing but the Lord, I got Jesus for him, read the book, keep the chorus, devil scream, please ignore him, to hell, we bring nothing but the Lord, I got Jesus for him.
I got the power to reach, I got the hunger to teach, I got my eye on the clock, and it's my hour to preach. You got my hour to preach, you got my hour to preach, you got my hour to preach, you got the chip. I got the power to reach, I got the hunger to teach, I got my eye on the clock, and it's my hour to preach. You got my hour to preach, you got my hour to preach, you got my hour to preach, you got the chip.
You guys, you know, this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. We are having a very powerful topic today about forgiveness. We have to forgive, and, you know, we have to forgive people. I mean, we really need to do it for ourselves, but for sure for them, too. You know, they moved on in their life, but we actually have to forgive people so we can move forward in life. We actually have so much that God wants us to do, and we're having a dynamic topic here with Mr. Demetrius Guyton, and he's going to go more in detail and tell us the tools that we can do, because I know we have some people listening that need to forgive, and I have had to forgive people as well. I'm not exempt. You know, all of us have to do that. And so, Demetrius, tell us about some things that we actually can put in place right now that we can forgive someone else, that we can be free of this, that we can actually continue our purpose in life.
Yes. Being honest, the clarion call that we get from God himself to forgive, it can sometimes be a daunting challenge, at best, and it will never be accomplished by those who will not forsake the comfort of anger for the challenge of moving ahead. My fear, Dr. Sunday, is that, it'll only perpetuate a pathology that teaches our children that we are too irrational, a society, to allow people to grow beyond what they did and to what they can become. And consequently, perpetrators have no choice but to hide who they are and therefore continue to attack our children, destroy our marital vows, and also engage in disputes once mistakes are made. But a healthy family environment or a community environment is only achieved when one is courageous enough to leave the nightlight on for those who have wandered away. And we must be willing to give them what we all need, which is a GPS system that allows the prodigal son or that wandering daughter to find their way back home when they're finally ready. And that's what we try to do as the church. We want to beat people upside the head instead of just giving them grace, the same grace that's extended to us. Because think about it. I didn't go through what you went through. You didn't go through what I went through. And therefore, it's going to take grace to bring us to that place of normalcy where God can actually work through us and use us, and as you said earlier, to reach out and get other people. But I've learned this also, Dr. Sunday, that most people who harbor animosity in their hearts against others, they do so because they remain on the reservation of what has happened in their past, rather to escape to the much larger idea of a better future.
Yeah, and then that brings in a whole another powerful topic about fear. We don't know what we claim. We don't know what to do and what we say. But you know what? You always have that inner peace that, you know, some people say they thought it was something, but let me tell you, that something is the Holy Spirit telling you that you got to get rid of this. You got to be free of this because, you know, the thing is, if you're not walking in your purpose, somebody is waiting on you to be in your purpose because that's how they're going to be free from the situations they're in. So you can't have that fear. You can't have procrastination, all those things. You can't have that. You actually have to move beyond that and realize that, one, you're not here on earth because of you, and it's like they say, the old people say, it's not all about you. So we need to realize that. But go on and tell us a little bit more of now, since you actually have this platform out that you're speaking about this, that you actually in your purpose, is this an ongoing thing of when you forgive, how some people say when you forgive, you got to keep forgiving, giving, or when you do it one time, is that what all we have to do? Now, you know, people say this too, okay, I forgave them, but I haven't forgotten it. What you think about that when people say that, look, that cliche when we say, well, I forgot it. I forgave them, but I hadn't forgotten it. And when they come around, we still have that attitude. So I'm sure that's not what we're supposed to be doing. But can you relate a little bit, tell us what we should do in that situation? So obviously, one, we haven't forgave them, and we actually can't not have an attitude when somebody says their name or something to that effect.
Yes, I think those individuals have not absolutely surrendered their whole lives to God. They love him. No doubt they love him, and no doubt they reverence him. But there's this fear that's still on the inner core of them, saying, "Okay, God, but." That's basically what they're saying. All right, God, but. You see what I'm saying? And so it's like anything in life, like just situations that occur that may be heavy upon the individual, and it's like, okay, I believe you, God, but, you know, and behind the scenes, it's like, I don't trust you with this. And people think that God's power is intimidated in our junk or in our past. If we just give it to him, it don't take him overnight. You know, God does it supernaturally right then. But with us, it's a process in order for us to become. It's just like a baby, Dr. Son. It's like a baby who no longer needs the umbilical cord. You know, you're being challenged to cut away all the cords of the past abuse and neglect and thrust into your new life with courage. And that's all God wants for us. And Christ was our ultimate example. He was our ultimate example, even at the cross, rather. You know, when they was beating them, and he said, "Father, forgive them." Now, that is major, beyond comprehension, that you know your purpose, one. You know that your purpose was for to descend from heaven to earth to be an example and die and go on the cross. But yet, your attribute was forgiveness. And I look at it like this. If a man could get beat for the whole world, crucified and died, and all he wants is the world to do like he do, I wouldn't think, you know, it to be hard. I wouldn't think it to be hard. The question really is, Dr. Sunday, do I trust God? Do I trust God enough with me to surrender myself to him and allow him to be, you know, just Savior and Lord over my life, Lord over my forgiveness, too. I must say this, Lord over my forgiveness, because forgiveness is not natural at all, Dr. Sunday. It's supernatural. And so, you know, once you allow God himself to come in, everything he does with you and through you is not natural, it's supernatural. And so you were talking about the platform earlier. I go out in the streets. My blessing is in the streets. I go where people are intimidated to go, and I talk with people because I've been in the game. I dealt with low self-esteem. I've been through all that stuff out in the streets. And so I feel like it's my kingdom obligation to go back into the streets, not only to talk about forgiveness, but his love, because all we want in this day is somebody to love us. And if I can find true, genuine love somewhere, somebody that won't judge me, someone that won't quote scriptures to me and make me feel lower than I already feel, then I will embrace that. I will embrace that. I get talked about, Dr. Sunday, because I am an international person. I'm privileged to have been traveling, but I love people. And I don't need the security guard thing, the bodyguard thing. I'm accessible, and I love people. And I've actually brought people into my home. People have knocked on my window, my bedroom window, 2, 3, 4 in the morning, talking with me about this forgiveness thing. I mean, because they're really wanting to get it. They're really wanting to get it. And to me, it's almost as if God allows my home to be a city on the hill that can't be here, and people from all walks of life actually come to my home and knock on the door, and I talk with them as long as I need to about forgiveness. And they're revolutionized, thankful to God, they're revolutionized. So I don't just see my life as a guy walking around with a scar on his face of his mother trying to kill him. I see me as someone else's deliverance, someone else's freedom. And I'm very thankful for that.
Well, that's very powerful. Oh, my God. Now, tell us how we can get your book, how we can book you for our speaking, you know, for our gigs. We may have a church function or any kind of function, because forgiveness needs to be in corporate America and not corporate America. Everybody needs to know about forgiveness. Okay, so tell us how we can get your book and how we can actually contact you for booking.
My email, I'm on social media, of course, Demetrius, middle initial P, Guyton. My email address is guytonchosenone@hotmail.com, GUYTON, the word chosen, CHOSEN, @hotmail.com. And if you don't mind, I'm not afraid to do it, but my cell number is 205-613-4339. And my book is available on Amazon. My book is available online on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million. And I have my own personal link, which is createspace.com/42711135. Thank you so much in advance.
Oh, wow. Thank you so much. You know, time goes by so quickly, but we do thank you from the bottom of our hearts here at Good Deeds, Demetrius Guyton, for being here with us. And if anybody missed that information, of course, you contact us on our social media platform and our, you know, gooddeedslive.com. And we will give you that information. But thank you so much, Demetrius, for spending time with us today.
It's my pleasure. To God be the glory.
Amen. That's it. You didn't say it. That's it. But you guys, you know if you need us, contact Good Deeds. And you know this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. Be blessed.